Well, let's get in the Word of God this morning. We are going to be in the book of Acts. We're going to be in the book of Acts for a long time. We're going to be in the book of Acts probably throughout the rest of this year as we look at how the church led the way. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we are going to read verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. This is the writer Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. This is his second volume. He says, until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we had said these things as they were looking on. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have an opportunity to hear from your word, Lord, that we have heard the words that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write, and we are better for it. And I pray that you would help us to heed and understand what you're saying to us, and may we be people who truly know you, love you, follow you, and will serve you, and will go and do what you've called us to do. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three key points that I want you all to remember. You can write this down if you want to, that we're going to look at as we go through this text, is that our faith, Christianity, our faith is established in the work of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, so that we might be a witness for the glory of Christ. Got that? Our faith is established in the work of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, so that we might be witnesses for the glory of Christ. And so we see here in verses 1 through 3 that Luke is writing to Theophilus, who he wants to make sure that he understands everything that has happened in the ministry and life of Jesus. And so in the first part of this book, he reminds him, in the first volume that I wrote to you about everything that Jesus taught, everything that he did, up until he was crucified on the cross. And now I'm picking up from there and I'm giving you the information of what happened. So he says in verse 2, until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He says that when Jesus was crucified and he rose again, he spent 40 days ministering, teaching the apostles about who he is, because, you know, they still really didn't get it up until he was resurrected, right? Because what happened after he died, when he was crucified, where did the disciples go? They ran and they hid. They fled, right? They all weren't jumping around saying, yes, yes, this is the beginning of his return. We know he's coming back because he told us. No, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They were hiding. It wasn't until Jesus appeared to them and showed them that he indeed was alive. Remember Thomas. Thomas was the doubter. He was the skeptic in the group. He said, I need to have proof. He was the scientific person. He said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the grave until I see and touch his nail-scarred hand. And so when Jesus appeared to him, what did Jesus tell Thomas to do? Touch me. Touch me. I'm real. And so we have to understand that our faith is established in the work of Christ. Christianity is a faith grounded, established, founded on the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are people who worship Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? Now, I know we think, well, I already knew that, Grant, but I think we need to always be reminded that our faith is established on the historical fact that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. It's an event in history that we realize and believe to be true. That when Jesus rose up out of the grave, everything changed. And the church receives its mandate from Christ himself. And so the book of Acts unfolds the story of how Jesus works through his church. And so as we take a journey through the book of Acts, we are going to see how the Holy Spirit empowered men and women of faith to be a bold witness to lead the way of sharing their faith throughout the known world for the glory of Jesus Christ. And guess what? We are a part of that story. We're a part of this tradition. We are a part of this movement that what started almost 2,000 years ago is alive and well, and Living Water Church is an example of how God is still moving in the lives of his people and leading the way. And so this morning, guess what? I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to miss it that we get to be a part of the greatest movement ever in the history of the world. Now, there's a lot of movements that we have in today. There's lots of causes that you can be a part of, but there's no greater movement, no greater cause. There is no greater activism that you'd want to be a part of than to be an activist for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to be a part of a movement that was established in the work of Christ. Not only is it established in the work of Christ, then it is empowered by the Spirit of Christ. In verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father. Now, who is this? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred in passages such as like Philippians 1:19 as the Spirit of Jesus, Romans 8:9, 1 Peter 1:11 as the Spirit of Christ, that if the Holy Spirit lives in us, the Spirit of Christ lives in us, the Spirit of God lives in us, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. And so he says, he told them, now wait, before you go do anything on your own, you wait until you are empowered to do so. I'm glad the early apostles weren't a bunch of Baptists. Because what we would have done as Baptists is we would have called a meeting, and we would have appointed committees, and we would have went on and structured and strategized and went ahead of Jesus. Many times we're good about going in our own power and not going in his power. Huh? Sometimes we don't wait for the Lord. You know, we got a good idea, and we know better than him. We got to get this thing out. I mean, I can just imagine some of the disciples saying, now, we can't wait. What's this business of waiting? We got work to do. We got to get out there. But if you go do something when God hasn't called you to do it or empowered you to do it, you're going to fail. But when God empowers you to do something, you will never fail. When God empowers you to do it, his kingdom will not fail. We are part of a movement that will not fail. For the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. How many of y'all like being on a winning team? In Jesus, we are all victors and we are victorious. Now, that doesn't mean we won't come against battles and there won't be hardships and there won't be trials and there won't be sufferings, but we win. We are victorious. We are on the kingdom of God's side. He says, wait until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is a transition. This is a new era. This is something different. We're going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're going into the way God worked and moved among his people, of the Hebrew people, the tribe of Israel, and we're seeing a new Israel formed. We're seeing a new people formed. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell every single believer. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain individuals. The Holy Spirit would empower the judges. The Holy Spirit would come upon the kings. The Holy Spirit would anoint certain people for certain things. But the whole people of God did not have the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're seeing in the book of Acts is a new era called the church history, where the Holy Spirit will live inside of each and every individual. Something new, something different about to happen. So he tells them, wait until we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 6, they're asking some theological questions here. So when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They still don't fully get it. They still are thinking temporal, not eternal. They're thinking here and now, not that they're thinking the physical realm, not the spiritual realm. They're thinking of a restoring of the kingdom of Israel, just like King David. Is it at this time that you're going to set up your kingdom on earth? Are you going to come in and wipe out the Romans? Are you going to establish your throne? Is it this time that Israel is going to once again be the city that is God's city, and that where we move and rule and reign? Is it at this time that you're going to do this, Lord? And notice what Jesus says. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority. Basically saying, when that day happens, that's none of your concern. I think it's a good word for us today. Because not that we should never think about the end time. I think that's valuable and that's helpful. But if we're not careful, we can get fixated on the end time. And many people can get into, if you want to sound fancy, let me give you a word and you sound fancy. You sound like you went to seminary. You ready? Eschatology. That's the study of end times, eschatology. Some people get so caught up in the study of end times that's all they think about. And that's all they talk about. And that's all they want to be about. And they forget that if you do study end times, and if you do study the return of Christ, it should always be to motivate you to be a witness of the faith and to share the gospel. Okay? And so he says, that's none of your concern. That you don't need to be fixated about that. Here's what you need to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus says, the main thing that I need you to know is you don't need to worry about when I'm coming back. You don't need to know when I'm restoring the kingdom of Israel. You don't need to know all that stuff. Here's what you need to know. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. You are to be my witnesses. You are to be my agents, my mouthpiece, my hands, my feet. You are to witness to other people of who I am. Look at your name and say, I'm supposed to be a witness for Jesus. I tell you what, we're going to have a rough year if this is how it goes. Look at your other neighbor. Maybe you didn't like that neighbor. Look at your other neighbor. Say, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus. We're supposed to be a witness for Jesus. Jesus, when you going to do this? When you going to do that? When you coming back? It doesn't matter. Here's what you need to know in 2018. You need to lead the way and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us may live, this could happen, we could live a whole life being saved and never lead one person to Jesus. How sad would that be? You are to be my witnesses. That word witness is martyr. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As a church, we are to be a witness in the county in which we are a part of, in the surrounding counties that we're a part of, in our state, in our nation, and to the ends of the earth. You get that? As an individual believer, you're supposed to lead the way and be a witness in your home, in your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood, until it reaches your friends. You see how that works? Starts here and goes where? Goes out. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Living Water Church needs to be a witness that makes an impact everywhere she goes. When you leave this church building, those dots are going all around everywhere, and you're to be a witness. Your life and how you live your life, it does matter. You've got to ask yourself, am I going to live for my own greed, lust, and gain? Am I going to live for my own pleasures? Or am I going to submit my life to the authority of the Lord Jesus and live under his lordship and live life how he has told me to live for the glory of Christ? Am I going to do that? Will my thought life glorify Christ? Will the words that I speak glorify Christ? Will the way that I treat my spouse glorify Christ? Will the way that I honor my parents glorify Christ? Will the way that I act at school glorify Christ? Will the way that I act on the ball teams glorify Christ? Will the way that I coach the ball teams, will it glorify Christ? Will the way that I go to work honor the Lord Jesus? When I go into work, do people see me as someone who is a man or woman of God who loves God and loves people? Am I an effective witness for the glory of Christ? Does my life attract people to Jesus, or does it repel people? Those are all good questions that we need to ask this year in 2018. Because how we answer those questions is going to determine how well we lead the way. We like to talk about how bad the world is. How people do this and people do that. And I tell you, blah, 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 blah. Well, you lead the way. It's time for the church to stop talking about all of how the world is all bad and sinful. We know that. What are we doing about it? How are you going to lead the way? Well, Pastor, you don't understand the workplace, the place I work in. I tell you what, it's like working in the middle of a pagan society. Lead the way. Change it. Be a change agent. Be someone who walks in there with the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Does the Holy Spirit live in you, or does he not? If the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you have been empowered by the Spirit of Christ to live a life that honors and pleases him, and you will be a witness for his glory. Do you walk in that awareness? Do you walk in understanding that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Maybe you think, that if you don't know, maybe that means you've never been saved. One of the ways that we make our calling and election sure is if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. If the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in us, we have not been born again of God. Do you or do you not have the Holy Spirit living inside you where he empowers you to be the person that he's called you to be? That this year in 2018, I'm leading the way. I'm going to lead and show people how to live for Jesus. So we got to ask ourselves, how well have we been doing on that? If not, let's fix some things. You've been using your language inappropriately. Needs to stop. You've been putting people down, maybe it's with your spouse, maybe it's with your kids. You've beat them verbally with your mouth or your tongue, and that needs to stop. Lead the way. Husbands, lead the way in your family. Well, you don't understand my wife. My wife, lead the way. Wives, lead the way. Yeah, but my husband, I tell you what, he's ornery. I can't get him. Lead the way. Lead the way. The Holy Spirit of God's empowered you to live a life, to be a witness for Him. You know what's powerful is when people who know you see the change that God's made in your life. You know, it doesn't matter. Some of you say, well, I have been so bad that there's no way God can use me. Oh, no, no, no. Even more, He can use you. When you've been known as the such and such, and now you're this, people are like, man, I'll tell you what, only God could do that. Well, I'll tell you a secret, only God can do any of it. You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. That's the mission. Living Water in 2018, we've got to lead the way everywhere we go. We start here and then we go out. You go back to your workplace, you go there. Home, workplace, out. School, out. Everywhere, out. What if you made a list of the people around you that you see on a regular basis? And do you know if they're saved or not? You work with a lot of people, some of you. Do you know who the people are who claim to be believers and who aren't? Well, I don't know. How am I going to know? You ready? You have to talk. Ask them if they go to church anywhere. Ask them if they're a believer. I can't do that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. While they were, okay, so when as he after he said these things, verse 9, they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing, men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up for you in heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now picture this. Use your imagination with me, if you will, for a little bit. Jesus has been talking to him, right? He's been talking to him, and they're excited. And then all of a sudden, he just starts ascending up into heaven. Now, naturally, every single one of us would be what? That's natural. I wonder how long they stood there, you know? Wow. Looking intent into heaven. I don't know. What were they thinking? I don't know. Like, was he coming back soon? Like, he went up and, like, were they, like, you coming back? Was that just up and down? I mean, what's going on? And two men in white robes. Angels. Hey, boys. What y'all doing staring up into heaven? There's work to be done. You don't have time staring up into heaven. You've got to go lead the way. You've got to be people who are the witnesses for my name. You can't just be staring up into heaven. Now, you can look all spiritual, can't you? Heaven gazing. We cannot be people who just stare into the blessings of God and never engage in the witness of God. Here's the one thing that we can be in danger as a church and all churches around. We can talk about Jesus, think about Jesus, picture the beauties and the grandeur of heaven, and never be a bold witness for Jesus. We can stare in our Bibles and stare about the glorious things of the Lord and never live out the words that we stare at. You ever thought about that? We can be real good at heaven gazing and just talking about all the things that Jesus could do and forget that he has empowered us to do. It's different. Yeah, boy. I'd love to see my friends and family come to know the Lord. I just love to see God move among the church. I just love it. What are you doing looking up into heaven? Get busy. You've got work to do. You've got to live out your faith in the home. Husbands, you've got to love your wives like Christ loved the church. You've got to live out your faith in the home. You've got to live out your faith at the workplace. You've got to live out your faith at the ball field. You've got to live your faith out at the school. You've got to, everywhere you go, you have got to go in the power of the Holy Spirit being a witness for me. You got to get busy. I'm coming back, don't worry. It's not about, you don't have to know when. I don't have to tell you when. I don't have to say, Grant, I just want you to know I'm coming back on this day. No, Grant, I want you to be busy until I come. We're to be busy. We're to lead the way. We are to be people who live out our faith, actively engaging a dying world who needs the everlasting life of the Lord Jesus. They're dying of thirst. They need the water of life. He gives it without cost. The gospel is to be proclaimed. We are to be witnesses. Our lives are to be changed. And we are to share who Jesus is with everyone around us. Will we do that in 2018? This service alone. What happens if every single one of you makes an impact on one individual this year? What will this look like at the end in December of 2018? What could this service look like at the end of 2018 if we all lead the way this year? So stop looking up into heaven. Get busy. You've got work to do. I've got work to do. We've got work to do. What do you say? Let's lead the way. Look at your hands. Say, got to lead the way. Got to lead the way. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. You've called us into your church, into your kingdom. And Lord, what was started back then is a continuation, and we are continuing that now. Lord, let us be found faithful. Let us be a church who takes your command seriously. Let us be a people who will be a bold witness for you. May we honor you in all that we do. May we be people who go out and live a life of a witness for the glory of Christ. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, they've never placed faith in you, and today they need to trust in you, they need to receive the Holy Spirit, they've never been born again, today would you open up their heart and eyes, and may they come and receive Jesus. For it's in your great name we do pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand, let's sing. As we sing, let's also pray. How about let's pray for this coming year? How about you pray for the people around you that you know needs Jesus? We've got more space now. Okay, you got prayer space over here. Let's pray for the men and women that we know needs Jesus, and let's bring them before the throne of God. Let's sing, let's worship, let's pray.